Morning, everyone. It's a lovely morning. It's wet and it's cold, but it's still lovely because every day has got something in it. And if every day was brilliant sunshine, we'd soon get bored. And we need a bit of diversity and a bit of variety in life. And our God is a God of variety, you know, because he loves us so much. And we are all individuals. We are people with different hobbies, different likes, different dislikes, different habits. And, you know, some like football, some like rugby, some hate all sport, you know, but it doesn't matter. God loves us anyway, in spite of who we are. Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I've entitled today's message, "The Cure for All Problems." And the only cure for our problems is God's love, the love of God. I'd like to read the morning's passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 through to verse 5 of chapter 14. It's a well-known passage, I'm sure many of you are well-versed in it, and it reads like this. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Follow the ways of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to God, to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. But the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like everyone to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church might be edified. Let's just pray before we look into the Lord's word. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will open up your word to each one of us. And Lord, feed us from it as we need. Lord, you know all of our weaknesses, and only you can strengthen us. So Lord, we just want you to feed us from your word this morning. And I ask that, Lord, that my words be your words, and anything that's not of you, just blow it away. Lord, because I am just a mere man, And we want to hear from you this morning, because only you have the strength and the sustenance that we need to grow in faith and in your grace. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As I said, I've entitled this message, A Cure for All Our Problems, God's Love. In the passage we've just read this morning, Paul is instructing the church in Corinth to strengthen their faith, to clear up any misunderstandings they may have had regarding their part in the body of Christ. And you know, there are lots of people in this world this morning, lots of Christians in this country, around the world, and they have the exact same problems. They don't recognize the part that they should be playing within Christ's body. They would be suffering needless pain this morning, both in a physical and in a spiritual sense, because of their misunderstandings. Some may even doubt their salvation, because they believe, for example, that if they don't speak in tongues, they might feel or be inferior to those who possess that gift. They may even question, have they been saved, or have they really been baptized in the Holy Spirit? But you know, if you look at Scripture, that's where we find the answers. Not from me telling you. So let's have a look at what it says, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by the one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, that says to me that if you know the Lord and have accepted him as your own personal Savior, you are covered. Because in the old days, when you read the Old Testament about the sacrifices, the priest didn't examine the person or the sinner. He examined the lamb that was brought. And the lamb had to be perfect. And once the lamb was perfect, he offered that as a sacrifice to God to take away the sins of the ungodly. And that's the same that Jesus done for us. He was the perfect lamb. He was our perfect lamb, our sacrifice. We are sinners. We will never be perfect. Yeah? But we have a Savior who was our sacrifice and went to that cross and died for us. His blood was shed to cover our iniquities. And we can just accept that. There's nothing we can't do anything. We're not worthy. But he, when his Father looks at us, he looks at us through his Son. He looks at the Son. The Son was perfect, so he accepts us as his family. I think it's a very important thing that we really get to grips with that, because we are not worthy. And at times when you think, well, I'm not worthy, it's true. So don't be worried about it. Don't feel upset about it. Just think of what a great Savior you've got. You know, who's taking care of all of that? We don't need to worry about that. Doesn't mean to say that we can just go and do as we want. Yeah, because there are guidelines that we're supposed to do. Just as the body is made up of different parts, they're all required to perform different functions in order for the whole body to be healthy and effective. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be effective. We're called to intercede for others and to bring others in prayer before the Lord. I remember when I was a child, I think I've told you many times before, you probably but listening to my mother praying for my soul. And it used to grind on me, and I used to get under the bed cover so as I couldn't hear it. You know, but it worked, because it seeped in. So don't ever give up. When you're talking to people, don't try and hit them over the head with a sledgehammer. Be gentle. But they should be able to see God in us. And they'll see God in us not by our gifts, but by our fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is the most important thing. And that's where the love of God comes from, because that's part of the fruit. It's important to remember that the gifts of the Spirit are exactly what it says. They're gifts given by the Father. And He distributes those gifts as He sees fit and to the needs of us as individuals, because He sees us all as individuals, characters. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we weren't, if we all like the same clothes? Now, forget about the services, you've got to be in a uniform, they're all in the same clothes, but in general, if we all like the same clothes and we all came in here looking like, I was going to say clowns, but clones, similar. But if we like the same clothes, we could all come in here dressed like clowns, couldn't we? But as clones, you know, or you had the same wallpaper in every room of the house, can you imagine what it'd be like? It'd be boring, wouldn't it? But we don't have a God who is boring. We have a God who is a God of diversity, as I've already said. And I believe that He provides for each one of us the gifts and the tools, if you want, that He thinks we require to be able to carry out the plans, His plans and His purposes for our lives, so that we can fulfill His purpose in building His church. And we've got to remember it, his church, and it's His purpose and His will that we need to be striving for, not what we would like and what we want, but what He wants. Each of us have spiritual gifts, and it's important that we recognize the spiritual gifts that we do have. And more importantly than recognizing, it's important that we exercise them, we use them, not just for His glory, but to build us up as well. Because if we don't edify the Lord, He's not going to be able to bless us. And I don't know about you, but it's lovely when the Lord blesses you. You know, because there's times when you feel so low, and I come to the Lord in prayer, and sometimes He blesses me. Maybe it sounds silly, but it might be just a little chorus coming into my head that sort of lightens my mood and brings me back to a reconciliation with the Lord, and to realize that He has paid the price for me and I don't need to be concerned. Just give it to the Lord in prayer. You know, there is, I believe, a need to recognize the gifts, because unlike us, God never gives us gifts and then takes them back. Once He gives you a gift, it's yours. So if you've accepted God's gift of His Son as your Lord and Savior, it's yours. He won't take it back. So anytime you feel, oh, I'm not as good as him or as good as her, or they do this and I do that, don't worry about it. Because the Lord has got a purpose for you as well. Your purpose might be just talking to the next door neighbor, having a cup of tea with them, having a chat with them. Mike, just give a good example, out for a walk and has found a neighbor in distress. And he was able to not just physically help him, but spiritually help him by offering prayer. And that, just that thought of those people accepting that prayer from Mike and Sally, you know, that's an introduction. And they've come back and said, thank you, there was comfort in your praying. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, is working in those two souls now. You know, and we have prayed for them as well this morning. And I would say, when we go away from today, don't forget about all of those that need our prayers. And Heidi's already said, we do need to intercede for people who don't know the Lord. He knows our weaknesses, and believe me, we need His help, don't we? Because we are feeble people, and we're so easily knocked out of stride. The gifts of the Spirit are given to help us as I said, to build us stronger in the body, and to fulfill the Great Commission that He's set out for us to do, to go into the world and preach the gospel and bring others in to the fold. Now, what gifts do I need, you may ask? Let's look again into the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Now, note, it says different kinds of tongues. I find that exciting because, again, it just shows the diversity of the Lord. You know, it's not clones. So you can't sit down and teach someone how to speak in tongues. It's not man doesn't build himself up, or woman, and devise a way of doing it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give you it, you haven't got it. And don't beat yourself up about it, because it means that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to have it, or you don't need it from His point of view. And that's, you know, maybe hard to understand, but I think people just need to get away from the religious side of things. People tend to go, you know, in my day and out there, people used to say, oh, you shouldn't go to the cinema. Oh, you shouldn't go to watch football matches when you're a Christian. Or you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. Well, that's like the Pharisees used to say, you know, I am greater than you, I'm holier than you, and you should be like me. But we are free from the law. We've got the Holy Spirit to guide us. If the Holy Spirit says you shouldn't be going to that football match, well, that's a different matter. That's between you and Him. And it depends on the football match you're going and what's going on there. The football match itself isn't the problem. But if you're in a crowd and they're effing and blinding and all the rest of it, it can't be very... You won't want to be there if the Holy Spirit's with you, because He'll be offended and you will feel the offence as well. And you'll be out of there like a shot. I'd like to have another bit from the scripture. It's one verse from Psalms 139, sorry, and 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. You know, that's something we need to remember. What David was saying there, you know, he praised the Lord because he knew that the Lord had made him and he was wonderfully made. Now, he wasn't perfect, but he knew the Lord loved him then. And you may notice that speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues are the last of the gifts, but that doesn't mean to say they're not important. And I'm not saying that they're not important and they're not useful. The point I'm trying to remember that none of the gifts can produce fruit unless they're operated in love. If we look again back to, and I don't apologize for repeating myself and reading out this scripture again, 1 Corinthians, we're only going to read 13 this time, 1 to 12. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels and do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. where there is knowledge, it will all pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. You know, from that passage of scripture, it's clear to me that love is the only medicine that can cure all our problems. Not the love that the world talks about in the tabloids or on the television or the radio, but the love that God demonstrated towards each one of us. And that love we can read off in the Gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. I think it's my favourite verse, and it's one that sort of way, when you're feeling down, I say, just remind yourself of that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's only when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, that gift of love, God's love, that we can laugh at all the stupid thoughts that this world pushes forward today. You know, we can laugh at the world's problems safely in the knowledge that we have within our grasp the answer of those problems. God's love, God's grace, and his peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and you know, that's the most important decision anyone can ever make, accepting the Father's gift. And it's only when you actually accept the gift. The gift's on offer to everyone, because it tells you in John 3:16, whosoever believes. So it's an offer to everyone, but until they actually take possession, they don't have that gift. You know, I could put a £10 note down here on the floor, if I've had a £10 note, and say, here, here's a gift. But if nobody comes and takes it, you're not going to be £10 richer, are you? And it's the same. You know, the most important decision anyone could make. It's the only gift that satisfies. And it's once that gift's been accepted, you can rely on his promise. As we find in John 10, in verse 27 to 30. My sheep, because that's what you become when you become part of his flock. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Beautiful, beautiful words. Now, what more assurance do you need? You know, once you're saved, you're in Jesus' hands, and no one's going to snatch out of his hands. And not only in his hands, the Father's hands as well, and they're greater than Jesus' hands, because he's given Jesus the power. You know, and no one's going to snatch you out of the Father's hands. So don't let anybody tell you that you're not right with God except the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And don't listen to the Satan's little voice, because there will. He comes in all the time. Why, should you be doing this? Should you be doing that? Shouldn't you be doing that? And the answer is probably, yes, a lot of times you should be doing it. But don't give him that glory. Just ask the Lord for guidance and he will put you on the right road if you're going astray. If you're concerned that because you don't have certain gifts that your salvation is questionable, let me reassure you from scripture again. We've already read it. I'm not going to read it again, but it's the Gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. You know, with this, I'm going to close. Let's be clear. No one should pride themselves or place themselves on a pedestal because of the spiritual gifts that they possess. Why? Because they are gifts that God has given them. You know, it's not through their own good works that they've got them. It's because God's given them. And if you're worried about not having certain spiritual gifts, don't worry about it. Ask the Lord for them. You know, because he tells us, if there's anything that you want, ask, and it will be given to you. But it will be given to you in his time, and when he thinks that you need it. So don't beat yourself up too much, but do seek his will, seek his face, ask for whatever you feel that you need, that wherever you're deficient in, and he will honor your prayers, and he will answer your prayers. So if you're worried about not having the gifts, as I said, just ask the Lord, and he will deliver you. He is the only one who can answer all your problems. His love is the only cure for every problem that we've got. So I just leave you with him this morning as we close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, help us to trust you. Help us to allow you to guide our path in the confidence that you will provide for all our needs. Whatever gifts we need to grow into the people you would have us be. Lord, we thank you for your Son, through whom we can come before your throne of grace and ask for your help in any circumstance, in all circumstance. Lord, grant us your grace and your peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. And Lord, increase our faith and our understanding on just how awesome you are. You are the Almighty God, and nothing is impossible for you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.